We go through these trials, and the thing that we do first, that James wants us to do, the disposition of our heart, is to first go to the throne of God. It's not that we don't go to friends. There's a wisdom and a multitude of counselors, we're told in Proverbs. It's not that there's not good counsel to be found elsewhere, but we go to God first. We humbly acknowledge our need, we bow before Him, and we say, God, I need help.
Today's message here on Growing in Grace is appropriately titled, Yours for the Asking. And that is precisely what James is laying out for us here in verses 5 through 8 of chapter 1. Welcome to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. As we continue our journey, here in the book of James, we are reminded that as we hit those trials in life, and as we count them all joy, it is an equal joy to go to the Father and ask for help. For the details, as we begin today's broadcast, an encouragement to read James a day at a time, here's Pastor Steve.
I just want to offer you this encouragement as we continue in our study of James, to be reading through it on your own. It takes, I've timed it a few different times, it takes about 15 minutes just to sit and read it out loud from beginning to end. You might, if you have a commute that's 15 minutes long or even half of that, you can listen, break it up, and there's a number of recordings you can download for free online. Kristen Getty's version of the New Testament, the ESV, is available, and it's a wonderful voice to listen to as she reads the Word. But take the time to be reading this book. I think the more you read it, I'm confident of this, the more you read it, the more our times together on Sunday morning will be benefited, be a benefit to all of us. James starts off this letter with a discourse on dealing with trials. And he doesn't waste any time. He gets right into it. He gets into the real stuff of life. And the reality is, it's an absolute certainty that some of you this morning are dealing with trials. And they can be of varying degrees. That's the point he makes. There are all kinds of trials. I mean, the trials of the morning, the normal kind of Sunday morning maybe that some of you have of trying to get out of the house and find your keys and get everyone dressed and get everyone here on time, or at least in time for second service at 9:30, however you approach that. But there's those kinds of trials, the stuff of life that seems to get in the way. And certainly some of you are facing much more severe trials. Relational challenges in your home, with friends, maybe at work, financial struggles, dealing with family, dealing with health, even this very week facing the reality of death. These trials, he tells us, comes in various kinds, variegated, multicolored trials. They come upon us, and that is the stuff of life. And he commands us, as we talked about last week, he commands us when these trials come to reckon them, to count them as joy. To count it all joy when these trials come into our life. I'm willing to admit, I think you probably would admit it with me, that there are times that is not easy. It is not easy to count it joy. And we saw last week that the foundation of being able to count it joy is having God's perspective on those trials. To not get so caught up in the moment of the difficulty of the day or the week or the season, but to recognize that God is doing something. That these trials are a testing of our faith, that testing produces steadfastness. And when steadfastness has had its perfect work, when it's done and has its full effect, we are perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So God says, there's purpose in these trials, so have this perspective. As hard as the day may seem, I'm doing something in you. And when you count it joy, that'll produce steadfastness, and steadfastness brings about Christ-likeness. But I think we struggle in the midst of the trial to always believe that and to maintain a joyous attitude. It's an incredible challenge to have the right attitude and maintain the proper perspective in the midst of the trial. And what we struggle to believe and what we struggle to understand is, what is God doing and why is He doing it? It's hard to believe in the midst of it that there's purpose in this. It's hard to believe that there's joy on the other side of this. James knows this. He understands this condition, and so he immediately gives us counsel on what to do when we find ourselves in that situation. Now, as we'll see, is a unique and regular feature of James. He connects section to section in his book that are seemingly disconnected, much like the Proverbs, where it seems as he jumps from one thought to the next. And at times he does that, we'll see that. But he very powerfully and brilliantly connects each section often with verbal words, common words. It's not evident to us in the English, for example, but when he says greetings, now remember, he's talking to people that are dispersed. He's talking to people that are scattered. He's talking to people that are suffering. And he says greetings, which the root of the word greetings is the word joy. He's like, really? Can you imagine that? You're getting that? You're in the midst of all this trouble, and his greeting to you is joy. And then immediately he says, count it all joy when you find yourself in various kinds of trials. There's a linguistic connection there that's not as evident to us in the English. This one is, if you notice the end of verse 4, the promise of steadfastness is that when it's completed its work in us, we will lack in nothing. Verse 5, if anyone does lack, let him ask. And so we'll see him make these connections for us, and he does this morning. There are two commands in verses 5 to 8. These are the two commands. The first is to pray. The second is to pray in faith. Pray and pray in faith. And I want us to walk through verses 5 to 8. These four points. We're going to look, first of all, at the prerequisite, the recognition of what needs to take place in our lives. Secondly, the request. Thirdly, the response. I want to focus there on the response. And then fourthly, the requirement. So what is the prerequisite? This is, you see, at the beginning of verse 5. This is a recognition of our need. If any of you lacks wisdom... You're in the midst of the trial. You're in the midst of the trouble. And if any of you lacks wisdom in the midst of that, he's going to tell us what to do. What if you're unable to see the path to counting it all joy? I want to do that. I understand it's a command to do that, but I'm telling you, I just don't see it. I don't see the future. I can't see past the troubles of the day. In the midst of it, you're not able to count it all joy. You can't see what God's doing. You don't have God's perspective. James says, this is what you do. And we've all been there. Some of us are there today. Consider it all joy. Are you kidding me? The first thing we need to do is admit our need. That's where we start. Wisdom that we're commanded here to ask for, wisdom, as we've talked about through Proverbs, is the ability to live life well in God's world. We live in God's way in God's world. That's wisdom. It's applying knowledge. It's saying, I want to live well in this world, and to do that, since God created this world, I need to understand the way God expects me to live. That's wisdom, the ability to do that. And we must look at the situation we're in honestly and say, I need help. I lack something. I lack the wisdom necessary to count it all joy. I lack the ability to see God's perspective in the midst of this trial. Now, to be certain, I want you to hear this. We typically use this verse in a way that is a general request for wisdom. If you lack wisdom in any area of life, you ask of God and he will grant it. That's true elsewhere in Scripture. And I don't think it's untrue here. That's a true statement. God is the source of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, we go to him for wisdom. He is wisdom. We seek him and he grants wisdom. And so that's a true statement. But here he's connecting it to what he said previously. If you lack wisdom to count it all joy, to see the bigger picture, then what do? Well, I think oftentimes when we're in the midst of trouble, almost every corner in life, pride is waiting to rear its ugly head. And that trial comes and we are tempted to think, I got this. I can do this. I can handle this. I can walk through this. I don't need to think of my dependence on God. I don't need to think about what God is doing. I got this one, God. I can handle this one. James in chapter 4 is going to deal with the issue of humility and drawing near to God and how the drawing near to God is connected to humility. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it says that God dwells in the high places and God dwells with those who are contrite and humble. So there is a necessity on our part to humble ourselves and to recognize our lack, that we need something. That's where we have to start. That's the prerequisite, to recognize our need. Secondly, is the request, and the request is for wisdom. Verse 5 again, if any of you lacks wisdom, so now we're at the point where, okay, I do lack wisdom. There's something I need to have the perspective that James has just called me for. So what do? This is what you do. You make a request of God. Let him ask God. Now, in the English, when we see let him, it sounds passive, but this is a command. This is a command that we are to do. Ask God. It's in the present tense, so you continually ask God. It is the disposition of the believer's heart to say, I am in a need, I am in need for God's perspective and for God's wisdom, and so as trials come, it is my disposition to continually acknowledge that need and go to God and say, God, would you please grant wisdom? I'm asking the God that he'll speak about in verse 17, of whom every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We've talked about how James is so dependent on the Sermon on the Mount. This is a great example. Listen to these words from Christ. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it is open. James says exactly the same thing. Are you lacking? Do you lack wisdom? What do? You ask God for it. We go through these trials, and the thing that we do first, that James wants us to do, the disposition of our heart, is to first go to the throne of God. It's not that we don't go to friends. There's a wisdom and a multitude of counselors, we're told in Proverbs. It's not that there's not good counsel to be found elsewhere, but we go to God first. We humbly acknowledge our need. We bow before him and we say, God, I need help. Now, not surprisingly, he doesn't stop at that command. He gives us reasons for that command that serve as a powerful foundation for why we can do this, why we can go to God and ask. And that's our third point, the response. It's the end of verse 5. Let him ask God, then notice these two phrases, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is great. Ask God, and let me remind you who God is. When I say ask God for wisdom, let me remind you what I'm saying. And he tells us two things about the character of God in relationship to receiving this request that serve as this just huge foundation for us to boldly approach the throne of God with our requests. The first is this: we're asking of God because he gives generously. We ask the one who gives generously. Now, the word order here makes something emphatic. The way it's structured, you could say this: go to the giving God. Go to the generous God. Go to the one who at his very core, at his very nature, is a giving, generous God. Giving is part of his very character. How many of us think of God like that? How often do we think of God and he's distant and he's unapproachable and he's reluctant to bless? He's reluctant to give. James says you go to God. Why? Because it is his very heart, believer. It is the very nature of God to give and to give generously. The word itself actually has this idea of undividedness, of single-mindedness. God is single-minded in his devotion to give. Now, that's going to stand in contrast to the man we're going to see in the next session who's double-minded. That's also not an accident on James' part. God is single-minded. We must not be double-minded. God is single-minded when his children come to him and say, I need wisdom. God generously grants it. We ask God because he's the giving God who gives with a singular intent and desire. And he gives to all, notice that, to all without exception. Now the context is believers, so he's talking about all believers. But God is not partial. He doesn't have favorites. Say, I'm going to grant their request and not theirs. He's generous to all who ask him in faith. His wisdom is available to all who ask. So we ask because he's a generous God. Secondly, notice this next phrase, who gives generously to all without reproach. I think that'd be an easy phrase for us to skip and kind of like, I don't know what that means really. But it's quite powerful, and I think something that we can really relate to. We go to God and we ask him, James says, because he is generous and because he gives to us without reproach. He gives to us without mocking, without disgracing us, without abusing us in any way. It's a word that means to criticize or to find fault or shame. When we go to God and ask, he grants our requests without shaming us. Now, you think, what does that look like? We've felt that. We've been asked of things where maybe we grant the request, but it's a little bit like, really? Again? Yeah, I guess. I guess I'll do that again. You're coming to me again for this? How many times have we had this conversation? How many times have you had to come, yeah, no, I'll do it, but it just feels like every day, right? When we go to God, he doesn't look at us and say, you sinner, you worthless thing, are you kidding me? Didn't you just ask for this yesterday? Didn't you come last week asking for this? No, God, whose very nature is generous, responds to us without reproach. There are no strings attached. Isn't that a great picture? Again, it's not a reluctant God, but a God whose arms are wide open saying, come to me, acknowledge your need and come to me. One commentator said it this way, he does not respond to our petition and then heap insults upon us for asking. He does not offensively recall the benefits already given or rebuke the applicant who asked for more. He does not give in a way that humiliates the receiver. He does not scold because we've inadequately used his former gifts or rebuke us for our repeated lack of wisdom. God's generosity is measured by what he designs and not by what we deserve. I want to give like that, don't you? I think just as an application of my own soul, like I want to be like that with people. I want to be like that with my family. I want to give without strings attached, without expectation, without reproach. God gives generously without reluctance. He gives without mocking or shaming or scolding. He doesn't play games with us. He doesn't remind us how unworthy we are to receive these good gifts. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives freely and liberally and holds back nothing. And notice what he says, the end of verse 5, and it will be given. Period. He'll grant it. You ever encounter something, maybe you get an email or it comes up on your social media feed that someone's found the secret to life and they want to tell you about it. And you just click on a link and then turns out you need to send them their email. So then they'll send you the secret of life. Then you send your email and then in the email it says, for just $19.95, we'll send you the secret to life, right? There's strings attached. I have this thing that could change humanity. I'm going to keep it to myself. That's how much they want to serve humanity. There are no strings like that with God. You ask and he gives it. You ask and he gives it. What an amazing command and an amazing promise. Go to God, ask God, and he will answer. I hope you hear this. No wisdom that is needed for a believer's perseverance through trial, whatever your trial, and whatever the lack that is in you for wisdom to see that God is doing something in it and producing something in you, he will not deny that request, believer. Again, let me go back to the next verses in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, the ones after the ones I read before, he uses this analogy. Which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Martin Luther once wrote, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of God's willingness. That has been tremendously helpful to me. I read that in my sophomore year of college, and it stuck with me, because I think we often view prayer as I need to go to God and convince him, this reluctant God, whose character it is to withhold from his children. I have to convince him that I'm worthy to receive these things. This is a prayer he should consider. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of God's willingness. He stands ready to give generously and without reproach. Now, are there any conditions attached to it? Is there anything that we have to do? We see the prerequisite. We have to recognize our need. We take our request to God. The response is to grant it to us. Is there a requirement? There is. The requirement comes in verses 6 to 8. This is the required condition of our hearts, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. This is a command. This is the second command. First command, pray. Second command, let me clarify, you need to pray in faith. So you go to God asking, but that prayer has to be a prayer of faith. So there's no barrier in God. There's nothing in his character that's keeping him from giving, but there may be a problem with us, and that problem is a lack of faith. We must pray believing. So God stands ready, but those who are coming to him and don't do it in faith, then we forfeit the reception that God desires to grant his children. God standing there ready to lavish upon us his wisdom, and we forfeit it because we don't come believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? For he who comes to God must believe, that's faith, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who seek him in faith. So the reward, the blessing comes to those who come to God that seek God in faith. And without faith, it's impossible for him to be pleased. So we have to come in faith, he adds, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. We can't come doubting God's commitment to keep his promise, doubting God's commitment to act according to his purposes and his will. That disposition of doubt puts the very character of God in question. God says, I'm a generous God, and I stand ready to give. And when we ask doubting that, we're saying, God, I'm not really sure you are generous. I'm not really sure you don't give without strings attached. God, I'm not sure I believe this about your character. And doubt suggests I'm not certain God will do what he says he will do. In this context, in the context of trials specifically, that God has purpose.
Pastor Steve Ballantyne here today on Growing in Grace. Questions, comments about our broadcast, we invite you to visit our website, growingingraceradio.org. That's growingingraceradio.org. You're welcome to reach out to us by phone as well, 626-656-1000. That's 626-656-1000. As you visit growingingraceradio.org, you'll find an archive of past sermons available to listen to, information about us, who we are, what we believe, and why. Pastor Steve's blog is available from our website, and information about San Gabriel Christian School as well. It's all at growingingraceradio.org. That'll send you a link to the church site as well, and you're welcome to visit us for worship. We'd love to have you. Sunday services are at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:45. Directions and information, again, simply go to our website, growingingraceradio.org, and follow the prompts. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you next week at this same time for another broadcast of Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.